Good morning and welcome to Conti's Law. I'm your host, Attorney Michelle Conti, your legal concierge. Thank you for tuning in this morning. It's the time of year where I'm asked the most about what do I do when a loved one passes away. I'm asked a lot of questions throughout the year, but especially around the holidays, we're asked the most about estate administration, trust administration. So today's show, and maybe the next one as well, we're going to focus on the basics of how to administer an estate and why we administer an estate, quite frankly, in Pennsylvania. I'll start by giving you our contact information. I hear the most that I don't provide that enough, so let me give it to you now. I'll state it a few times throughout the show. Jot it down, 724-784-0239. We offer in-office consultations as well as in-home or in-hospital and facility consultations as well. So give us a call and we'd be happy to sit down and chat with you. But let's talk about the basics. What happens when someone passes away? Well, if someone passes away, everything that they own, and that's from their property, be it a residence, a vehicle, a trailer, bank accounts, investments, even the little knickknacks that are found throughout their home, that becomes a part of that person's estate. In basic generalities, the process of administering someone's estate involves putting together an inventory of all of the things that they owned. And again, that could be from the knickknacks to the car to the bank accounts. We also have to locate creditors, and I'm asked that all the time, which we'll tap into that question, is when someone dies, do we have to pay the creditors? And the answer is it depends, quite frankly. You have to pay all the debts, pay all the taxes. You have to go through the process that the court has in place prior to making any distribution to a beneficiary, which brings me to another question. And I hear this all the time. Passing away, administering someone's estate who's passed away, is very complicated. It takes a lot of time. So our job at Conti Law is to hold your hand and make sure you're doing it properly, that you're checking off all the boxes in the order that they need to be checked. The final stage of administering an estate here in Pennsylvania is to distribute the assets to the people who are entitled to them, who inherit them under the will. Or if there's no will, which we call intestacy. So if someone dies intestate, that means that they passed away without a will. And Pennsylvania has a clear-cut definition of who gets what. And most of the time when I explain the intestacy laws to clients, they're blown away. The assumption is, if you are married, that your spouse gets your stuff. And that is not always the case. If you have children, and they can be children from your relationship with your spouse, they can be children from a prior relationship, then the percentages are different. The bottom line is that in Pennsylvania, and without going into this in too much detail, in Pennsylvania, you cannot disinherit a spouse. What does that mean? It means that your spouse is entitled to their spousal share, to an elective share. Without getting into all the different relationships and the formula, let's just round up and say roughly your spouse is always entitled to 1/3 of the estate. Well, that brings us to the following question is, does that mean they're entitled to just the probatable estate, just what goes through the court system? What if dad dies with a revocable living trust and he didn't make any carve outs. He didn't make any distributions to his spouse. Is the spouse entitled to a third of the trust assets as well? And the answer is it depends, but more than likely, yes. Now, assets that have a named beneficiary, and that can be something like life insurance or a retirement plan, an IRA, a 401k, a pension, or any other account like an annuity. If you have a beneficiary designation on that account, then that asset will pass to the named beneficiary upon your death. So if I have life insurance and I leave it to my spouse when I die, he gets it. If I have a 401k and I leave it to my children, then when I pass, they get it. And there's certain processes involved, typically providing the company with a death certificate, providing them with the beneficiary's contact information. If on that beneficiary form, if I have my kids listed and I don't have their addresses, then, you know, I can give it to them so they can provide the claim forms to the named beneficiaries. What about a jointly owned account? So let's say I have a bank account and I own it with one of my children. What happens then? Well, the answer is, when I die, depending on what box I checked when we formed that account, typically, again, and I'm saying this is not the case in every situation, but typically, that joint account goes to the surviving joint owner. But you have to double check the wording. Same holds true with a property that's held jointly. So if dad owns a property with his two children, whether or not dad's one third has to go through probate is dependent on the terms of the deed. Did they own it joint tenants with rights? And it would say in the deed, joint tenants with rights of survivorship, tenancy by the entirety. It depends on how that wording is listed in the deed as to whether the surviving owners get dad's share outright or it has to go through probate. So those are some of the things that we talk with our clients about when we get a telephone call stating that they're the executor or the administrator of the estate. Essentially, those two terms mean the same. They mean that you're the fiduciary. You're the person who has to make sure that the decedent's interests and goals were met, that that procedure upon their death is seen to. The difference is an executor is a person that the decedent named in their will to settle their affairs. An administrator is somebody that the court approves if the decedent died without a will. So I'll give you an example. I have a client right now. He passed away. He had a long-term live-in partner of 30-plus years. They were not married. And she called and said, "What do I do?" And so we went through the list. Did he pass away with a will? And the answer was no, he didn't. And she said, "But he's my husband." And I said, "Unfortunately, the state does not recognize he's your spouse because you were never legally married, nor are you grandfathered in to the old rules of being married without the legal certificate. And those rules are you have to hold yourself out as being a married couple. And the real test when I ask the question is, did you file your taxes jointly as a married person or as a married individually as a married couple? So those are things we have to think about. But in this circumstance, he passed. He had several siblings. But she said, "I'm his spouse. I've lived in this home with him for 30 years. We have a car. It's in his name, but I drive it." And the sad fact of the matter is because he died without a will, because they were not married, She does not take under the laws of intestacy in Pennsylvania. The court does not see her as a spouse. So what we have to do, first and foremost, is decide who is going to administer his estate. And so the siblings had to renounce their right. They have to fill out a form and agree they don't want to administer their sibling's estate. And the girlfriend, the live-in partner, has the authority to do so. So we got over that hurdle. But then the second hurdle is, under the laws of intestacy, that house, that vehicle, any account in his name is not hers. The laws of intestacy say, if there's a spouse, a percentage goes to the spouse. If there's kids, which there weren't any, then the kids would take a portion. In this case, no spouse, no kids. Then it goes to parents. Parents are deceased. Then it looks at siblings. Well, he had several. Now, the fact of the matter is, the easy situation would be all of the siblings sign a renunciation so she can administer the estate. They sign a disclaimer saying, we don't want his stuff. We want it to go to his partner. This is the part of the situation that we find ourselves facing right now. Those siblings have not signed the disclaimer yet, stating that they don't want his stuff and it could go to his partner. Her question to me was, what happens then? If they don't sign the disclaimer, she is going to have to buy out their share of her house. Same with the car. And she will not be able to use his money or the estate account monies to do that. She is going to have to use her own money. These are some of the pitfalls and some of the situations we face and we find our clients in when they're not married and when it's complicated, if it's a blended family, a second marriage. In this case, they were never married. And there's one sibling that I'm assuming who lives out of town is going to give us a lot of problems because he never has gotten along with his brother's partner. And so when I spoke with him on the phone and explained the situation, I did not get the feeling or the vibe that he was going to make this easy for her. So these are some of the things that I warn people of what can happen if we don't properly plan, especially in this circumstance. They're not married. Now everything was easy and they were married and everything was held jointly and they don't have to do anything. But sadly, these are some of the things we have to think about. So the first question I ask my clients when they call in and say, we want a consultation. And if you would like a consultation, reach out to us, 724-784-0239. We'd be happy to sit down with you. We'll send you over our estate administration questionnaire, and we're going to ask questions about the decedent. We want a copy of the death certificate. Is there a will? If there is, bring one. We need the original. Did the decedent never make a will? So you're going to have to search through that person's important documents. Is there a will? Is there a trust? Maybe a safe deposit box? Are there any financial records that the decedent had hired an attorney in the past to draft these up? Once we figure that out, then we'll go through the process of getting that person sworn in at the local county orphans court. So it's the Court of Common Pleas. They get sworn in to administer the estate. At that point, what's called letters testamentary or letters of administration, if they died without a will, would be granted to that executor or administrator, allowing them or giving them the authority to act on behalf of the estate. We promptly advertised the letters with a local legal journal, a local newspaper, giving notice to any creditors of the estate that so-and-so passed away. They have 1 year from the date that that executor is sworn in to file a claim against the estate. The Register of Wills will then give the executor what's called a short certificate. And that short certificate allows that executor to conduct business on behalf of the estate. Open an estate bank account. Close any existing accounts. Obtain date of death valuations on the account. Transfer any property that needs transferred. So it gives them the authority to act on behalf of the estate. And again, if there's a will, that executor's sole job is to make sure that the provisions of the will are carried out. So think of it as I'm the executor, I'm the overseer of the decedent's wishes, and I have the legal duty to the named beneficiaries to protect and maintain all of those estate assets. The next step is the executor would have to give the attorney or the IRS, if they're trying to do it themselves, their social security number so we can obtain what's called a taxpayer ID number, an EIN for the estate. Because that estate bank account is opened with this EIN, with the death certificate, with the short certificate, so that all of the assets can be contained in one estate account. All mail would be forwarded so that we can make sure all the bills are being paid. There's an inventory of the assets. Keep in mind, if there's a residence, we have to maintain insurance on it. You have to pay the taxes. You may have to sell the property to pay off any debts. A lot goes into this process. And if I said otherwise, I wouldn't be telling you the truth. It's a process. And I have people, when we sit down and the will allows for the executor to take a fee for their services, for the time that they put in to settling this estate, I will be very honest. Most people say, nah, that's not fair. I don't want paid for my services. By the end of the process, when we're sitting down, we're finalizing the inheritance tax return, and we're going through all the debts, and we're going through all of the companies and institutions who were contacted, I will say a majority of my executors will answer the question differently this time. When I say, are you sure you don't want to take a fee? You're allotted a fee for your service. And again, a majority of them will answer that question differently. And most of the time they will say yes. Keep in mind, however, if you take the fee for acting as the executor, you will have to pay income tax at your income tax rate for that fee collected. If you're just tuning in, thank you. You're listening to Conti's Law. I'm your host, Attorney Michelle Conti. If you have any questions or concerns, feel free to reach out. 724-784-0239. You can always contact us via our website, contilawpgh.com. contilawpgh.com. We offer free consultations. So if you have questions, feel free. Give us a call or schedule a time for us to sit down and go through your circumstances. So let's get into what we have to consider with respect to tax when somebody passes away. We have the Pennsylvania inheritance tax. We may also have federal estate tax. We'll have the decedent's final income tax return, both Pennsylvania and federal, as well as the income tax return for the estate, both Pennsylvania and federal. Let's start with the easy one. Well, the Pennsylvania inheritance tax return is due within 9 months of the decedent's death. If we make an estimated payment within 3 months of their passing, the estate will receive a 5% discount with that prepayment. The tax rate for the inheritance tax depends on what the relationship was of the beneficiary and the decedent. So currently under Pennsylvania law, there is no tax due if a spouse inherits. There is no tax due if a charity inherits. But if a child or a grandchild inherits, it'll be 4.5%. If a sibling inherits, it's 12%. If anybody else, and I always categorize that as niece, nephew, neighbor, it could be anybody, a friend, a partner. Remember, if you're not married, you're at the 15% tax rate. Federal estate tax is a little bit harsher. Keep in mind, it's also due within 9 months of the date of death. But it generally only affects those larger estates. And it's dependent on if you're married or not. If you're married, you can stack your exemption. It depends on, have you gifted over your lifetime? If so, how much? Because keep in mind, you report that federal gift, and that would be reduced from your overall lifetime exemption. But my clients who are married and who are under, and again, for simplicity, I'm going to round, $20 million don't have to worry about the federal estate tax. If you find yourself in a category of wealth above that, then you're looking at a federal estate tax rate, which is very high, somewhere around 40, 45%. It's a lot. Then you also have your normal final income tax return, federal and state, for the decedent. You file that normally. We can do that for you. Again, I'm a tax attorney, so we handle all of our tax returns for our clients. And then depending on how long that estate is opened and if the estate has earned any income, then we file the final estate tax return. Again, both federally and at the Pennsylvania state level. How are estates completed or concluded? Well, we can do it in a couple different ways. If we file a formal accounting with the court, they will approve the administration and distribution of those funds. That's one way. If all of the beneficiaries are in agreement to how the estate has been conducted throughout the, let's say, year, then they would sign what's called a receipt and release. That receipt and release would state that they received the information and the assets, they approved the administration and distribution of the estate. Now, let me talk about this accounting for a moment. We do an accounting for our estates only when necessary, and I'm going to tell you why. They're time consuming, they're hard, they're very costly. We only draft and file an accounting for an estate when there's serious disagreement or disputes that have arisen among the beneficiaries or the executor. I'm dealing with one right now. I just got involved at the 11th hour, where three accountings have already been filed with the court and they're all incorrect. And the other side, one beneficiary, is disputing this. And this is the issue when you're hiring an attorney to assist you with this who doesn't know what they're doing, which is why our tax background comes in very handy when we're settling an estate. Now, hopefully, we don't need that. But in the event that we do, and I always say, I see the worst in people when money and death are involved. So you never can foretell how a beneficiary or their spouse who's talking in their ear at night are going to react. I hear the worst stories. When mom or dad pass, their passing could fracture that family. We don't want that to happen. But if it does, we're there to help you. With that being said, I'm going to end the show there, because settling the estate, there's a lot that goes into it. But if you have questions or concerns, or you want to make the choice to allow your family to avoid this, give us a call. Have a great weekend, everybody. That's the end of our show. Take care and God bless.